Hey, my name is Dwight Bernier, and I want to welcome you to the Acts 29 Canada podcast.
Well, hey, welcome to another podcast with myself and Jordan. So glad to be with you again, buddy.
Great to be with you, man. Always a pleasure. I look forward to these things. I hope the people enjoy it.
Yeah, man. It's hard to keep this part short.
It is. It really is.
But we will. We will. Because I have to go do a thing with people and lots of important things need to happen.
You know? So, and truthfully, just hearing us banter back and forth about nonsense, let's get into the stuff that people are really here to hear.
Yeah, which is what?
Which is our guy Luke. I'm not even gonna try to pronounce his last name.
No. Say it.
Adelamaki?
I don't know.
We talked about it before. I'm not being rude, I promise. We know it's hard to say. Many people that he knows personally don't know how to say it. So
I don't know that he knows how to say it properly.
Well, there you go. So anyways, he's got a lot of good stuff to say. Little region highlight for you here today on the province of Saskatchewan. And Luke is gonna sell you on the province of Saskatchewan. I firmly believe that. You're gonna come away wanting to go and visit this place.
And you probably want to go see the teapot that I'm pretty sure I missed.
That's right. Well, without further ado, let's get into our conversation with Luke.
Luke, thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I know you. You know, you were just alluding to this. We've gotten to hang out twice in the same month, which almost never happens.
Never.
And then one was in person, which
That's
is
right.
incredible.
How nice incredible. Is that, eh? It's awesome
it was
to
a
be
Christmas
able to do
miracle.
That.
It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, on a different podcast, I was speaking about Davidson, Saskatchewan, and like one of the unknown glories of Canada, and that's where Luke and I got to hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You're very kind. I mean, I think it's got like the biggest teapot in the world there.
Come on.
Is it really?
Like, or in Saskatchewan, but
I was there and didn't see it.
Oh, you probably saw it. You just missed it.
What? How would you miss the biggest teapot?
Yeah. Good question.
Now, I did see a coyote. Which was pretty awesome.
Lots
so
of
we were
those,
driving
yeah.
and Murray was talking and I just was like, hold on a second. Like, is that a wolf or a coyote? And it's standing right next to the road. He's like, oh, it's a coyote. And then he went on to talk about how nice its fur looked. And I'm like,
what?
Wait,
wow.
A coyote?
Are you all okay with coyote? Like where I'm from, like not Montreal, but where I grew up,
sure.
If there's a coyote on the side of the road, like someone is pulling over and shooting that thing.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That is not good to have around.
Not here.
Really?
Yeah, you just let it
do its thing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like the Lion King.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's nuts.
That's insane. Yeah. Well, hey, Luke, it's good to have you on here. Podcast veteran that you are, because you host your own podcast, is that right?
I do.
Do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, I work with our denomination, Core Time here in Saskatchewan, the Mennonite Brethren. One of my jobs is to do a podcast called the Future Church Podcast. And it's just an opportunity for us to connect with our pastors across Saskatchewan and share what they're doing in their churches for discipleship and encourage one another and share ideas and resources. So
nice.
Just a small little thing, homegrown for our churches here in Saskatchewan.
Right on. So shout that out. Yeah. Listen, if you like Luke's podcast, go follow the one that he does and go boost his listenership. And
that's right.
What happens if people don't like him, Jordan?
Go listen to him anyway, right?
That's
it's
right.
the bearing with one another in love, Ephesians 4, right? So, Luke, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, man? Tell us about your family and tell us what you like to do to like recharge your batteries.
I've lived in Saskatchewan, for 13 years now. I moved from Seattle to here, which was culture shock. I moved to a little town called Estevan. Went from Seattle to a town of like, I think it was 12,000 at the time. Everyone drove like diesel trucks and, you know, was way more manly than I was. And so
they're shooting coyotes on the side of the road.
Yeah.
They're not. They're going to let them be.
Oh, they're not.
They're hanging out.
They're like
out
wrangling
them
in. Yeah. They're like the pets, you know. But it was culture shock and I had no idea what I was getting myself into. Mm. But I moved to this little town to be a youth pastor. Met my wife. When I was interviewing and when I went back home, I was like, oh, this is the woman I'm going to marry. I just knew. She was just awesome. She was really mean to me. She was not in a good spot relationally, but hey, we hit it off once I moved there and ended up getting married. We have four kids together. Our oldest is 10, our youngest is 5. Hmm. So our house is chaos, loud, busyness, fun. We planted a church in Regina 8 years ago. And that's been up, down, here, there, everywhere. It's been a blast. Mm. It's been the hardest thing I've ever done. And it's been just one of the most remarkable gifts of grace that God has given to me. Mm. So Yeah, I love it. To recharge my batteries, I love smoking meat. I love meat. If you could, if there's a video, you'll see that I'm not slender and cute like Dwight, but a little more filled out.
Oh, you're
and,
cute.
Very cute. But I love barbecue. So, you know, if I have an opportunity to smoke any type of meat, I'm going to try it and do it and enjoy it. So,
right on. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say cigars. I mean, I definitely didn't think you were going to say joints. But,
no. I like a cigar now and then.
I had a moment there. I was a little concerned, but I'm glad you came through.
Yeah,
this is our episode on edibles, for sure.
Well, man, I'm coming out to Saskatchewan, and I'm going to have some of your smoked meat.
Do it. You tell me what you want, and I'll make it.
Oh, man, I'm so in. Whatever you want. That sounds amazing. Yeah. So, Dwight, obviously, you talked about it. You've been out to Saskatchewan recently. In fact, I've never been to Saskatchewan. I've flown over it, but never been there. So, Luke, can you give us a couple things that are commonly thought about the province of Saskatchewan that aren't actually true?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, obviously, like, the flatness, it's a prairie. And yes, Saskatchewan is flat, but there's also, like, I would call them fake, like, hills. Like, basically, there's, you know, areas where there's lakes and stuff. And so it is valleys, and then you dip down into, like, not a ravine, but something like that. Okay. And it's just beautiful. So I enjoy that. You know, being from the West Coast, I love the smell of the ocean. I love mountains, water, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, Saskatchewan's beautiful, but in a different way.
Okay.
You really learn to appreciate the beauty here. What else? Man, that's a good question. You know,
so what you're saying is, like, you can't watch your dog run away for 4 days? Is that what you're saying?
You could, for sure, but eventually they're going to dip down.
Gotcha.
You know, I would say the other thing is, like, you know, Saskatchewan, it's really cold. Like, today I think it's, like, minus 30 or something with the wind chill. Not fun. And people are always like, oh, Saskatchewan people, like, can enjoy it. But everyone hates it. Like, I don't know why we live here, honestly. Like, it's stupid. I don't get it. But, yeah, we all hate it.
So this is a plug for people to move to Saskatchewan and work with people like Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah. You come in June. There's no mosquitoes really, like, no bugs, and it's nice out. So,
there you go. Nice.
That's awesome. There's one time of the year.
Yeah.
So what took you into full-time ministry, Luke?
That's a great question. When I was in high school, I was really involved at my church, and I did a summer, like, month away missions program. And I went to North Dakota, like, the worst missions, like, destination for, like, a high school kid. Like, people are going to New York, to Florida, and I got North Dakota, Bismarck.
Did you all, like, cast lots for where you were going to go?
I don't know. I think the people who ran it just hated me. So, and I'm like, we're going to screw this guy over. But I got to spend a month at a church there and just serve, basically, and sit with the youth pastor and work with him. And, you know, during that month afterwards, we had, like, a review of my time there. And he was like, you know, you have, like, a gifting, and I think God's calling you to ministry. And at that point, I was like, man, I want to become a cop. That's the last thing I want to do is become a pastor. Mm. But he just really encouraged me to think about that and to seek God. And for whatever reason, I took him seriously, and I began to do that and pray and started talking to my pastors, my youth pastor, and, like, our other pastor at our church. And they both just encouraged me in that and really encouraged me to, like, seek out, like, how am I gifted, and then let them know. And then I had opportunities to, like, exercise my giftings and grow into them at the church. And then they encouraged me to go to Bible school. And it was really through that season where I felt God call me into ministry, and in particular, youth pastor at that point in time. So engaged in that and just really just fell in love with Jesus and the church and serving in that way.
Cool. So what brought you to Regina?
Well, obviously an act of God, because no one else, there's another reason to come here. Like, it's all right. Here's the, like, the irony of God, right? I can remember when I was in Bible school, I worked at a camp outside of Winnipeg, and I drove through Regina, and, like, actually just east of my office. I got off the ring road here and went onto Highway 1 to go towards Winnipeg. I remember driving through in April. So, like, all the snow is melting. It's just dirty and gross and dead. And being like, why does anyone live here? Like, God, I would never live here. I remember, like, the exact place where I spoke those words. And God just laughed at me and called me here. So, my wife and I wanted to move to Seattle after I was done being a youth pastor in Estevan. My wife didn't want to move at all. She was very content with being close to home. And I was doing all I could to move back to Seattle. So we, like, spent a month out in Seattle looking at houses, at jobs, and basically planning our move there. And we were driving back to Saskatchewan, and we were outside of Canmore, on the number one highway. And I just remember driving at night and God speaking and just basically saying, like, you're going to Regina. And like, it was one of those weird supernatural moments where it's just like, oh my gosh, like to not listen to this voice would be to sin. And I remember like turning to Bailey and like, I think we gotta go to Regina. And she's like, yeah, I think the same thing. So we ended up moving to Regina to be a part of a church here, the Compass Church. And then really the rest is history. We came kicking and screaming, really, because it wasn't where we wanted to go, but it's been one of the best things we've ever done in our lives.
Were you part of the core team that originally planted the Compass?
No. We came after they had been planted for a couple of years. It was still like a smaller church and really just getting its feet under itself, but we weren't part of the core team, though.
So how long was it before Blairzy said, ah, I think you are the church planner that we're going to send out?
It was a bit, but I can remember emailing with him and saying, like, we're thinking about moving to Regina, but we're not sure. We might move to Seattle. And he was like, you should just move to Seattle. If that's where God wants you, just move there. And I was like, what the heck, man? Like, don't you want me to be part of your church? And not that I was anything special, but like, you know, any church planner who's starting off their ministry would want someone who's like, I'm coming to serve and do whatever. And he was like, you just got to do what God's calling you to. And kind of giving me that freedom just really solidified that call from God to move here. And so we came, and about a year after moving here, like right away, Blair started talking about church planning and raising up men. And that was a big part of our church ethos, was investing in future leaders. But probably about 6 months to a year in, we started talking seriously about planning a church.
How would you describe Compass Church? Because you planted a Compass Church.
Yeah.
And so what's going on there? Is it a helpful name? Is it a journey? Like what's going on?
Yeah. You know, the story behind the name, and if I get this wrong, Blair, I'm sorry, but the story behind the name is, as I understand it, is like the compass always points north, right? It tells you the true direction you need to go. And so that was the hope of the church, is that we'd always point towards Jesus, point towards, you know, truth and where we can find life and all that. So that's behind the name. You know, the funny thing is, so we planted, like, there's a Compass East, a Compass North. At one point, there was a Compass South. And in the last few years, we've merged two of our churches together to have the Compass West. And it's just like directional insanity, right? Like, what church are you? Where do you meet? You don't meet in the West, you meet in the East. Like, how does that work out? It's just, yeah, it's fun. So
that is fun. So talk to us a little bit about the city of Regina. Who lives in Regina and the communities that are surrounding it?
Great question. You know, Regina is a unique place. So like in Saskatchewan, you know, we're a little over 1 million people province-wide, and half of that lives in two cities, Regina and Saskatoon. The rest live scattered across the barren prairies, right? So it's interesting that. So in our city, we are about a little over 200,000 people. And it's really a mixture of, you know, younger families. You know, we're one of the more affordable places to live in Canada. You know, you can have a family and still afford a house here. So, if there's any reason to move to Saskatchewan, it's that you can buy a house and some property. That'd be it.
That's, so we have a lot of young families. That's so foreign to
me. Yeah, I know. a lot of young families, a lot of people who are starting off their careers, that type of thing. But we also have a lot of older folks, like in my neighborhood. There's a lot of older couples, empty nesters, and so there's that mixture of people. But Regina is a government city. We are a place where, you know, the province government's located. So we have a lot of government jobs, and we have a few corporations located here. But, yeah, it is that weird mixture. We also, like, in the last number of years, we have a ton of immigrants coming here, which is a huge blessing. And so we really get to see, you know, a place that when I first moved here to Saskatchewan, it was largely a white community, a white area. And now we're seeing that diversified. And that's exciting to see that happen across our province. We also have a university here. And that university has a lot of people who are from outside of Canada. Like, talk about drawing the short stick, right? Like, moving to university in Canada and you're in Saskatchewan, right? Like, out of all the places you could go to, like, get your college education, you come here. But we do have that. So that's actually a huge opportunity for us and a huge blessing to our province to have not only just people from across Canada, but from across the world come here for education and a chance for them to be a part of our community.
So I feel like Jordan, we should already be setting up right now, like, a non-Debbie Downer podcast about Saskatchewan.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Like, seriously.
Or we should have some sort of like battle between Luke and someone else about like, now let me call you
the
to
merits here, of Saskatchewan.
You know, you know, they could say all they want, but we all know it's true. You know, like that's the horrible reality. It is a great place to live. And I honestly, like, it is challenging, and like, I don't understand why people settled here. Like my family actually moved to Saskatchewan and settled outside Saskatoon. And then they moved from here to Washington.
Wow.
They're like, this place sucks. We're keeping going like west. But like, honestly, it is a great place. And there's something about the people here. You will not meet like more genuine, loving people who actually care for each other, their neighbors, the people around them, and invest in their communities. Like, you want to talk about understanding community. You find any community in our province, and you will find people who love each other, who will care for each other, who will do whatever they can for their neighbors. And so there really is, you know, despite the weather and the bugs and all that stuff, like, there really is a beauty, not just in the landscape, but in the people who call this place home.
No, that's good, man. That's good.
Way to turn the corner there, buddy. That was great.
Yeah.
Redeeming the podcast. You know?
It's okay. Clay is the editor of this. Anything that Clay decides, because Clay is from Saskatchewan. So anything Clay decides, man, that's just too mean. He's going to make it sound better. So you'll end up sounding like you love this place. Yeah. More
Thank
than
you, Clay. You I appreciate
go.
It, buddy.
There you go.
Yeah. So your dreams, what are your dreams for the church in Regina? And really, I know that you're involved provincially in all kinds of different churches. So yeah, what are your hopes for the church in your province and city?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, just vaguely, we want some people to meet Jesus. I know, like, talking to you, Dwight, you live in Quebec, obviously, and that's one of the most unreached people groups across the Americas. And so I feel kind of silly saying this, but like, our city is deeply lost. You know, we're like I said, a city over 200,000 people, and yet the majority of our people don't know Jesus in our city. And it's crazy to think about that. But, you know, a few years ago, the stat I heard was like 2% of people in Regina would be evangelical Christians.
Wow.
And so that's like a devastating reality. And you know, you talk about what's going on across our nation. You know, I hear from you, Dwight, or other people in Quebec about, you know, what God's doing there. And that's so exciting. You know, you hear Mark Clark once in a while talk about like the baptisms they're doing in the water, and like hundreds of people being baptized, which is awesome. Like, you don't hear those stories here. And obviously those are moves of God, and we're so grateful for that. But to hear stories of like God moving in our province, and especially in Regina, is pretty rare of people coming to know him in large numbers. And so we're really praying, and our desire is to reach 1% of our city. So we long to see just 1% of our city come to know Jesus. And when I say that, I don't mean we want to see our church grow to like 2,000 people. That would be great. I'd celebrate that all day long. But we're saying, like, man, we desire to see the gospel move in our city through whatever means possible, whether that's the Compass West or that's another church. We don't care. We want to do whatever we can to partner with, to equip, to send out people, to see churches planted, to see people come to know Jesus, because the need is so great here. And so that's our desire, you know. And provincially, you know, I'd love to say I have like big dreams for our province, and I really don't. Like, I would love to see, obviously, churches planted across our province. Like I said earlier, half our province is rural. You know, rural Canada is a different beast. It's a different area. That takes unique people who love the small town like vibe and love the rural things of life. Like, I remember when I was in Estevan, like, visiting people from our church, and they're pulling calves, you know, like calf birthing season. And I was like, what am I doing here? I'm about to puke in this guy's barn as I'm watching this cow come out of its mama. And it's like, I can't do this. This is not my jam, right? But people love that. And that's like a huge part of the community fabric of Saskatchewan. So we need men and women who just love that aspect of ministry and are called to those places. And so I would love to be a part of that, but I'm not the best person for that. That's not how I'm wired. And so like you said, Dwight, I do work with churches across our province through our denomination, and that's a great joy for me to encourage them, to pray with them, to help them think through different things that I'm learning, or different ways we can see discipleship happen. But really, like, a huge need we have here is church revitalization. We have a lot of dying older churches in really small communities. We need younger pastors, especially, who have just a heart to go die in one of these communities. And we need church planting. Like, that, you need both. I'm a firm believer of that. And so we need men and women and people who want to move to these smaller communities to plant churches there. and really do the long, hard work of putting their roots down in a community to see the gospel go out. So whether that's the Compass West or the Compass Church as a whole or a different organization or a church, like, it doesn't matter. We just need to see that happen desperately here.
So tell us a little bit about what brought you to affiliate with Acts 29 and how has that partnership been of benefit to you and your church as you kind of pursue that vision for your city and your province?
Yeah. It's a great question. I've loved Acts 29 since I heard about it. I remember reading a book in a coffee shop when I was a youth pastor about Acts 29 and just like losing my mind. Like there's a group out there that like wants to plant churches, raise up leaders, you know, is so committed to the Great Commission. I loved that. And I began to explore A29 from that point on and just always wanted to be a part of it. What I love about Acts 29 is it's really focused, right? They know what they're about and they're committed to that. So theologically, missional, you know, they just have that focus and they're committed to it. And so for me, that's just so encouraging because it means on the ground here in Saskatchewan, I'm not alone. I have a group of brothers with me who are walking out those same desires and living out that same commitment to mission and church planting here across Saskatchewan. And so like we talked about, you know, planting in rural settings, like, I don't know if I'm called to that or our church is called to that, but if, you know, Clay in Saskatoon or Murray in Saskatoon, you know, there are 89 churches up there. If they're trying to do that, man, I can resource them, like money, whatever they need, I can help them with. And likewise, as I'm trying to see, you know, the gospel go out here in Regina, I connect with those guys and they encourage me and cheer me on. They know our context. They know what we're facing. Yeah. They know what to do, like when it's minus 40 out and you can't get your trailer open because it's frozen shut. So like, you know, those type of things, it's just good to have those type of people in your corner and that brotherhood, that missional commitment and to cheer each other on, to cry with one another and to be there for each other.
Yeah, that's so good. And, you know, part of the reality of Acts 29 is that global piece as well. So you can benefit, you know, locally from the guys, but man, there are problems that local guys here haven't faced that I'm facing. And so getting to tap into that reality globally has been so helpful. Yeah. So, I appreciate your perspective, Luke. Well, we've gone through this pandemic, you know, like all the, okay, let's be like open confidentiality. It's February 16th today as we're talking, right? Just so people aren't like, these guys are really late to the news.
That's right.
As they're listening.
Yeah.
So like all these restrictions are supposed to be ending soon or they've already been ended in certain places. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to hear what has God taught you during the pandemic about you, about his church, about him. And how has he worked in your church?
Another great question. You know, the pandemic's been like incredibly painful and stressful on different levels. But I think one of the things that it has been for me personally, it's just a hands-on course of putting our theological convictions around God's sovereignty into practice. Like, he's basically forced us to begin to apply that deep doctrine into our lives in a very real way. You know, God is good and God is in control. Those two statements have been forced upon us to really believe and be lived out in the day-to-day things. So what I've noticed personally through the pandemic is when I've started to, started to forget that God is in control, it goes sideways really quick for me. It goes to a dark place really quick. And so just constantly like preaching that truth to myself over and over again has been really important. The other thing I've really focused on is that is Jesus' church. He's going to build his church. And if we think a pandemic's going to get in the way of that, or, you know, the craziness of our world over the last couple of years is going to weigh that, we're kidding ourselves. I have a friend on our leadership team, you know, and I'd always text him if I was going through just a rough day, like just discouraged around like COVID rules or, you know, what you're seeing take place in our society. And I'd text him my discouragement and he'd always just text me back, Jesus' promise, he will build his church, you know, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And I just need that reminder so much and so often. And so that those are just two things that I don't want to lose once the pandemic's over, like whatever that means. Like I want to have that confidence moving forward, you know, no matter what we're facing, that, you know, God is sovereign and he is good and Jesus is building his church and nothing's going to stop that. You know, overall as a church, I think like the pandemic's been a great chance for us to just really value something that we didn't probably value enough, and that's the Gather Church. Hmm. I remember when we were in the early days of it a couple of years ago and doing online church, and one guy from our church was just like, man, this is great. I can keep my jammies on, you know, watch church, and my kids can do their thing, and I don't have to leave the house. This is awesome. And I was just like, oh, that's just discouraging, right? Like, I just couldn't believe that he was saying that. And the very same guy, a couple months after we reopened and we're gathering again, he was like, man, I've missed this. Mm. This is so precious. And I've heard that from a number of people. And just that realization that, you know, how important it is to gather with the saints, to worship and take communion, to hear the word preached. And not just to gather digitally, but to gather physically and have that moment. It's a deep part of our discipleship that we don't fully understand how important it is to us until it was taken away. Mm-hmm. So I've just been at awe of how God's really revealed that to us as a church and to me personally, and really shaped us through that experience. Mm.
It's cool to hear, man. And yeah, thankful for God's sovereignty in that for you guys. We would we probably all echo the exact same thing. Right. And so it's cool to hear that he's doing all that work with you guys. Now I'm interested to hear a little bit more about how you guys do ministry, just based on the fact that, you know, Regina is one of the places where 50% of the population lives. And no doubt you probably have people coming in from outside of the city. So how are you seeking to engage people in the city and outside the city to get more involved with what's going on at the Compass Church?
I think one of the things that we really realized as a church is we had a heart for a city, but we didn't know what to do with that. Mm. Like we really wanted to serve our city, but like as with any city, there's tons of needs. And you're like, how do we begin to like delegate and reach some of these people? And so over the past year, we've worked really hard at trying to find another organization that we could partner with that would really give us an opportunity to have like a hands-on, like practical service to our city. And so we've actually found one that we've been working with, and they connect us with real people who have real needs in our city. Like this month, we've been serving by providing a family who has been relocated due to domestic violence, and we've been able to come to them and provide them groceries for the month, provide them diapers and childcare, and keep their power bill on. Things like that, just very practical ways to reach out and serve the city and take really a gospel theory and make it tangible for our people. So we've been really just focusing on that as a way to engage our city, praying that through these small acts and through these small meetings, we can form deeper relationships with people that we wouldn't necessarily meet otherwise, and bless them and care for them for sure, but also share the gospel with them in a practical way. Another way we do this is through another nonprofit called Athletes in Action. I don't know if you guys have that out where you're at.
Yep.
But we have a number of people in our church who work with AIA on a volunteer basis here with the University of Regina. And so it's a great ministry that seeks to serve and disciple athletes as they're in university. So we have a number of student athletes who call our church home. And really our heart is, as these students come in, is to really bring them into our church family, you know, and bless them and walk with them and see them discipled and see college not as a time where they're just excelling in academics or excelling in athletics, but see college as a time where they're going to grow deeper in their faith. Mm. And we're really committed to walking with them. So, you know, that means having them over for meals. And like we had a football player over there today and he ate like two racks of ribs and it was just like, that's impressive. Like, good for you, man. I don't know how you do that, but it was great just hanging out with him and hearing his story and hearing how we as a church can serve him and see him grow deeper in his faith. And so, like one of our deepest desires as a church, when it comes to college people in our city, is that they would become a part of our church family, be discipled, grow deeper in their faith, so that when they leave Regina, hopefully they don't, but if they do, and they move back to, you know, Montreal or Ontario or BC, that they can really go right into a new church, a new home church, and just be a huge blessing there. Hmm. And like pick up where they left off here. And so we really want to equip, deepen their relationship with Jesus, and then send them out for just the mission of God wherever they go.
That's beautiful. And I think, you know, being in a city where like we have lots of students as well, getting to see investment in the global church by knowing that people are going to be here for a season. I remember Tim Keller talking about you basically have 3 years to disciple people in New York City. And so every 3 years, it's like, it's a repeating thing. Not that you preach the same sermons, but you do preach the same subjects.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You just put them in different ways. So I love your take on that. Yeah. So great, good stuff happening. But what are the biggest challenges you have in ministering to people in your city?
Man, that's another podcast. I mean, there's no end of them. You know, I think one of the biggest challenges we have, I think there's a couple big ones. One really practical one is I think a realization that the way we've done ministry in the past probably won't work in the future. So we've always done a mobile church kind of philosophy of ministry where we have a trailer, we set up and we tear down every Sunday, we rent schools, which has been awesome. Except for when it's minus 40 out, then it sucks incredibly. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's been great. It's been a really, you know, financially friendly way to do church. And as like our culture secularizes more and we kind of move to a deeper post-Christian reality, the idea of using public schools or like, you know, community centers is just going out the window. And like COVID was a really big wake-up call to us in that, where we also lost access to any space that we could rent. Mm-hmm. And so like a really practical one is we're reevaluating like how are we going to do ministry moving forward just from like where are we going to meet, you know, on a Sunday morning? Like what's the best option for that? Like is it house churches? Is it, you know, leasing a building? Is it buying a building? Like what do we do? And not just like a business decision, but a spiritual decision that like what's the best way to really shepherd and care, and disciple and reach our city? How can God do that through what we choose to do? So, I mean, we're wrestling through that in real time, like, you know, and God's been so faithful in that too. Like, you know, I met a real estate agent a couple, maybe a year and a half ago by fluke. And he's like, he's the guy who sells churches. Like if you're trying to sell a church as a denomination, you hire this guy and he like specializes in that. And we met kind of by accident on the phone. And, you know, when we lost our meeting space back in November because of COVID, we were renting a private French school. And we lost it. And so I called him and I was like, dude, you got to get me one of your empty churches. Like you're selling these churches. They're empty. Get me in there. And at first he was like, I don't think I can. And I was like, you got to save us. Like it was right before Christmas. It's like, you don't want us to be out in the cold during Christmas, do you? Like, and he was like, no, I don't. And so he got us in there and he got us into a church on like a week to week rental, which is like not ideal, but it was awesome because we get to like not we leave our stuff set up. We have a place to gather. And it's just God's sovereignty and his goodness in that. But that reality that, you know, how we've done things isn't always going to work as we look ahead to, like, you know, not just a post-COVID world, but a post-Christian society here in Regina. So we're thinking a few things like that. You know, spiritually, the question is, like, how do we best disciple and minister people as we leave COVID? You know, what are the needs? What are the hurts? What needs to change on our end? Maybe there's things that we were focusing on pre-COVID that really aren't that needy right now. You know, what's the immediate after effects of COVID on people? How do we deal with the division in our church? How do we deal with, you know, the craziness of our world and really disciple people through that? And so we're at a season right now of just like, okay, what is that challenge in discipleship as we move out of COVID? What's the thing that we need to focus on so that we don't miss where people are at and just assume that we're going to carry on ministry the way it was pre-COVID.
Yeah, so expand on that a little bit for us. Like, what are you guys doing to equip and to train and to send people out to live out the gospel in your area?
And to be honest with you, like, I think during COVID, we really struggled with that. Like, I think COVID was such a shock. And I was like, you know, some backstory of that, we merged with another church in March of 2020.
Oh, wow.
And like our first Sunday of bringing two congregations together, we were locked out. And so we actually started a church merger right when COVID started. We had two congregations. People didn't know each other. And we started that. And it was like incredibly challenging to know what to do and how to do that. And probably not the best timing, but that was out of my control. And so really like during COVID, I was like, how do we kind of start this church merger and build these two churches together? And trying to think through that, we really like dropped the ball when it came to equipping and discipling. And so pre-COVID, we had things we were doing. We had different groups and classes, you know, evangelism focused, discipleship, men's leadership development. And those faded out through COVID. And now we're at a point where we're asking that question, like, all right, what do we need to bring back? How do we make this a priority again moving forward as we enter 2022? And you know, COVID's over or whatever, right? Like, how do we refocus that and really pick up where we left off when we were back in March of 2020? And so that's like a huge area of focus right now in our church is getting back to the basics of that. You know, like How do we proactively disciple people so that we're not caught in a place of reactive discipleship?
That's good, man. That's good. It's thank you for your honesty, you know, around that too, because sometimes we all pretend like, no, like I knew this was going to come, and like we just applied the plan and did the thing, and then bada boom.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
just not, it's just not the reality mm-hmm. so often.
Definitely not. No.
So it's been hard for so many. And I mean, I think that's going to be an interesting thing over the next few years is what do we learn from one another moving mm-hmm. forward as mm-hmm. we, learn how to be with people, how to do evangelism again, like how to disciple, not that we stopped doing that during this time, but for sure. I mean, you go to talk to anyone about anything and like I remember being in a pharmacy and like reaching for something and some woman like jumped back and started screaming. I'm like, whoa, I just need the children's Tylenol, you know, like, and I feel like there's a whole level of society that we have to, you know, arrive at some sort of normalcy before we can even start with some of the old ways of doing things. Yeah. But I really appreciate your honesty around that yeah. and thankful for you, Luke, and thankful yeah. for Saskatchewan. And man, despite your stiff arm, you know, is a good football analogy, your mm-hmm. stiff arm of people from this place, you know, I'm just praying that the Lord would fill, you know, that place with lots of co-laborers lots of people would meet Jesus and mm-hmm. That those most literal fields, you know, would be full of people following him. Mm-hmm. And
amen.
That's good.
Yeah, man, really thankful yeah. for you and the work you're doing there.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for joining us,
I wanted to say that, but Jordan beat me to it. So
thanks for the invitation.
I'm going to say it again. Thanks for joining us, Luke. I really appreciate you, man.
Love being here with you guys.
All right.
Thanks so much for joining us today. I really hope that you appreciated the content that you heard. And as you're on your way out, would you do a few things? Number one, would you subscribe? That'll make sure that you get all the new content that Acts 29 Canada is putting out delivered directly to you. Second, would you give us a 5-star rating? That'll just help us to get noticed and help this content get out to people faster. And third, would you share this information with anyone that you think will benefit from it? Again, thanks so much for listening and have a great day.